Hello, dear friends. Once again, it is time for Let's Talk About Jesus right here on our website. I'm so glad to begin this broadcast exalting the name of Jesus, for it is in the name of Jesus, not in the name of the Holy Church of God, who certainly sponsors this broadcast by giving to the ministry, but not in my name, who is going to be the speaker today on this broadcast, but in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we've come to make this teaching, this Bible teaching, and this sermon and teaching, because I believe teachings should be part of the sermon, and I think sermons sometimes should be part of the teaching. How can we teach such great truth without the passion of preaching sometimes? So because I'm a pastor, evangelist, not just a pastor, not just an evangelist, but a pastor with an evangelistic anointing as well. Always, we have always had an outreach from our ministry so that we could do the work of an evangelist while pastoring a church. Hallelujah. So we're reaching out to a world that needs the good news that we have to bring today. And that's why we want to focus on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ today. In fact, the title of our teaching is The Threefold Blessing of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. The Threefold Blessing of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's God's will for every person to hear and to heed the good news. That's what gospel means in its very practical sense. There's a lot more theological attachments to it, but the attraction of the gospel has always been, will always be, the fact that Jesus died upon the cross as our substitute to pay our sin debt, and that everyone can be saved if, when they hear the gospel, they give heed to it by responding, by repenting of our sin and receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So the first benefit, the first blessing of the gospel is to bring salvation. Sometimes I think we underestimate this great truth, and we need to have it in the forefront when we preach, when we teach, when we witness. Amen. For the gospel is the good news of God's mercy and grace offered to every person on planet Earth. Make no mistake about it. Amen. God wants to save the lost today. And salvation is the purpose of the gospel itself. It's the purpose of Jesus coming into this world. Now, Christmas time, when people get real sentimental over a baby in a manger, remember one of the wise men brought myrrh. What was myrrh? It was something that they used to anoint a body for burial. Isn't it amazing that one of the three magi, and there's a lot more into that. We're not even going to go into all the detail today. Yeah, you say, Pastor Bill, it's not Christmas yet. You wouldn't know it the way they're starting to already advertise autumn in the middle of summer in Hobby Lobby. Listen, today we need to understand why Jesus came to our planet, why he condescended to leave his position equal with God, the second person of the Godhead. Without him, he was there at creation. Without him, the scriptures teach, there was nothing made that was made. He declared before Moses was, he didn't say I existed or I was. He said I am, the same thing that God said when he was asked, who shall I say sent me? He said, tell him I am sent you. Tell Pharaoh. He, the everlasting, eternal God, who wasn't ever, because he was from eternity. Not the God who was, but the God who is, and who always will be. When Jesus said, "I am," he declared himself to be very God in flesh, the second person of the triune God, one with God. Hallelujah. So today we need to understand he did not come to lie in a manger and evoke sentimental feelings. He came as the first step to his journey to the cross to take our place as a sacrificed lamb, typically, amen, and figuratively, but to die just like a lamb had to die in the old covenant, because all of that was a type and foreshadow of what he did and what he fulfilled on the cross once and for all. So the gospel is good news, and the good news is that God's mercy and grace is offered to every person on this planet who will repent of their sins and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's why we have Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, the words of Jesus. Here's this great mandate and commission: go into all the world. That's why we're on the internet today. I don't know where you're hearing this, where in the world you are hearing this, but we are here because of exactly what Jesus is saying to them then and us today. I'm convinced if Peter and Paul and John and James, if they had the internet, they would be on the internet. Not only would they be traveling, but they would see the benefit and blessing of being able to go into the entire world because of the media. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, underscore this, to every creature, every person in the world. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. I want to go back to baptized here just a moment, because this is not just water baptism. When we are saved, water baptism has no meaning if spiritual baptism has not occurred. I want to say that again. Water baptism has absolutely no meaning, no spiritual benefit or blessing, unless a spiritual baptism has occurred when we get saved. For when we get saved, the Bible says that we are baptized into one body, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are baptized into one body, not the church. Some churches, that's how you get into that church denomination or organization. But we're baptized into a bigger body than some organization or denomination, religious or otherwise. We are baptized, according to the scripture, into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and have become his members in particular. So by all means, we should be baptized in water, but don't substitute water baptism for salvation and what it means and what happens at salvation, spiritually speaking. You don't get saved because you're baptized in water. In fact, baptism in water is symbolic of what has occurred spiritually. We are buried with Christ and we are raised with Christ to walk in the newness of life. And that occurs as a mighty work of the Holy Spirit called regeneration takes place when we come to Jesus and experience true salvation. And when that occurs, the Bible said that if any man be in Christ, how do we get in Christ? We are baptized into him by the Holy Spirit. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Everything has become new. So this idea of walking the aisle and giving mental assent to a biblical truth about Jesus and then being baptized in water and then walking out the door and living the same old life with the same old sins and serving the same old master, the devil, that is not salvation. The good news is, hallelujah, that you can be forgiven your sins and you can have God go to work in you by the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, amen, and put you into the body of Christ spiritually and into the kingdom of His dear Son, Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Just having said that I'm not minimizing in any way the importance and value of water baptism, but I'm telling you, without this spiritual baptism, that means absolutely nothing. What it means is you go down in the water, a dry sinner, and you come up out a wet sinner. No, you go down into the water, a person who's experienced not only forgiveness of sin, but something called regeneration and conversion in the Scripture. Praise God. Amen. Listen, this is a mighty work of God, the greatest miracle of God that any human being can ever experience is the miracle of salvation. Hallelujah. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Emphasis on spiritual first, without taking away from water baptism at all. Okay? Can we balance that today? You understand that? I hope we understand it, because I've met some people that have been baptized in water, that have been baptized in water in order to join the church and have adopted the creed of the church and said the right things and done the right things and went through the right ceremonial things, and yet are living a life that is bound by sin, and that the devil still has the influence over that life. I'm going to tell you, when you get truly saved, you're born again, born from above. Praise God. It is a work of God and in no way a work of man. Hallelujah. Which it is a gift from God. But it is a spiritual gift, and it is powerful, and it is potent. And when that happens, that encounter with God through Jesus Christ, He begins a work that He will continue until Jesus comes, if we're here when He comes, and if we're not here physically when He comes, if we're with Him, then we're going to come back with Him. But one way or the other, we belong to Him. Listen, and we'll get to that a little bit further. But I want to make it clear that the gospel declares God wants everybody saved. 1 Peter 3:9 said God is long-suffering. Why? Because love suffereth long. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love suffers long. God tolerates, puts up with our rebellion, our blasphemy, while He works toward calling us to salvation. He wants us in heaven, not in hell. Make that clear today. God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any perish, but that all should come to repentance. You're not predestined to go to hell from the day that you're born. You are predestined to go to heaven, whether you acknowledge His call, whether you acknowledge what He's done for you when you hear the gospel, whether you respond and give heed to it by repenting of your sin, receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That is entirely up to us as individuals. But as far as God is concerned, He is long-suffering to usward, not willing. Don't let someone confuse you about that. Don't let someone twist this and try to make it say something it isn't saying. He's not willing that any should perish. That's why we go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We know the will of God is to save them all. Are they all going to be saved? No, only a few, according to the Scriptures, in light of the many who are going to hear and the many who are not going to give heed. But God is not willing that any should perish. He said it to ancient Israel. He said, I take no pleasure. I take no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. Why will you die, O house of Israel? I put two ways before you. We always have this choice to make. Have had and will have and do have. I put two ways before you. Blessing and cursing, death and life. Choose life that you may live. For why will you die, O house of Israel? God is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Notice, this is not a work to obtain worthiness to be saved. This is that is necessary for us to turn from Satan to Christ, from darkness to light, from sin unto God. Amen. Paul was told to turn them in these areas. And he, in other words, to preach repentance, which means if you're going one way, you turn and face the other way. And the moment you do, all of heaven's resources, mercy and grace and strength and power become yours. Praise God. Make no mistake about it. God wants to save the lost, and the good news of this great truth is the core of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave His Son to be offered up. God has provided a lamb for you and me. That's why when John the Baptist saw Him coming, he got a revelation from God. Amen. He said, behold, yes, He was the Messiah. Yes, He was the Son of God. Yes, He was this great Jesus, this great Christ, the Anointed One. But when He saw Him, He saw His purpose. And He said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Behold the sin offering. Behold the substitute. Hallelujah. And from that revelation, we have the gospel and the core of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave His life, suffering such pain and shame on the cross to save the lost, our sacrifice lamb. Listen to Revelation 22, 16 and 17. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. You know, they called him Son of David to honor him, because when David got restored once again, amen, through repentance, the restoration came, and he continued to be a king that was blessed of God and a blessing to Israel. And it was an honor to call Jesus Son of David. He was in the lineage of this King of Israel. And yet, Jesus is declaring, I'm not just the offspring of David, in the lineage of David. I'm the root of David. Amen. I pre-existed David. It's because of me there was a David. Praise God. Listen to what he says next. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It's like God would not close the Bible. This is the last chapter of the Bible. It is the last chapter of the book of Revelation. And the call to come to Christ and be saved is clearly restated, reiterated, because it's not His will that any perish, but that all have eternal life. Now here's the important truth once you've heard the gospel. To reject God's offer to save is also to reject His Son's sacrifice to bring salvation on the cross, where He shed His blood to save us. Listen to this important warning. Today, if God is dealing with you, It's important that you understand the consequences of not giving heed and not accepting the gift that He offers and not accepting the sacrifice of Jesus in your behalf. Being on your own and standing on your own in the day of judgment. Listen to what it says. This is the other side of the coin, the other side of the gospel, but part and parcel of the gospel. Hebrews 10:26-27, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses, of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite the Spirit of grace." What is this sin here of doing despite the Spirit of grace, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, who hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing? What is this sin? I like the paraphrase. It's dead on. It says to repudiate Christ's sacrifice and are left on our own to face the judgment. Do you understand what that means today? That we stand in our righteousness, our self-righteousness, in the hope that our good will outbalance the bad and somehow will make it into heaven? A friend of mine, nothing could be further from the truth. The truth is today that we stand in a place of great terror. We stand in a place of great jeopardy. We're in a precarious place of judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. In much preaching today, you would think there is no coming judgment. No eternal punishment of the wicked. No hell to shun. Only a heaven to gain. Listen to 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power." I'm going to make a statement today in light of that. No one can fully appreciate what you've been saved to until you fully appreciate what you've been saved from. Aren't you glad today that you've been saved from facing God on your own without being washed in the blood of Jesus, without being forgiven your sin, meeting Jesus in the flaming fire of judgment and taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel? What do we do to obey the gospel when we hear it? That God has given His Son, that Christ has given His life on the cross to save us, that we repent of our sin and receive Him as our Savior. Amen. The second thing He does, He seals us with the Holy Spirit. When you come to Christ as your Savior, as sure as the wicked one, and the wicked are marked for judgment. That's what the mark of the beast is all about. He's saying God has marked those that belong to Him. I'm going to have a mark for them that belong to me. And the mark of the beast is, of course, the mark of the Antichrist. It's the mark of a man. The number is 666, which is the number for man tripled. It is the mark of a man who wants to be God, declares himself to be very God, but who is a man that is influenced entirely by Satan himself. But because he wants to be God, and the devil wanted to be God from the beginning, I will be like. He said that's what got him kicked out of heaven. That's what he rebelled, and he was so influential, he led many, many, many of the angels in that rebellion. They fell with him. He said, I will be like the Most High. So whatever God has done through Christ, he's going to do. And he's going to do it through the Antichrist and the false prophet. And all of it is this desire to be like the Most High. I will exalt my throne, he says. I will sit in the congregation. I will be the one that is high. I'll sit on the throne, not God. He was lifted up by his own beauty, and believe that he should be in the position that God is. So this mark of the beast is something he's trying to do that God has done for his children. Sure as the wicked are marked for judgment, the saved are marked for mercy. Listen to Ephesians 1:12-14. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth. That's the gospel. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Hallelujah. Because you were purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God claims us as his own, a purchased possession, bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. He has sealed us. And that word seal means to mark as one's own. It is a mark of ownership. My sheep, he calls us. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad to belong to him, and that he has marked you as his own? I love that scripture in the New Testament talking about all of the things that can occur to try to shake us, and yet it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Jesus said, the Lord knoweth his sheep and calleth them by name. I love that great camp meeting song that says there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. And it's mine. The white-robed angels tell the story, a sinner has come home. I like the paraphrase, this earnest of our inheritance. This down payment from God is the first installment on what is coming. Hallelujah. Friend of mine, I'm glad that we have been given the Holy Spirit, not just the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that is a power gift for service, but the Holy Spirit coming within us to mark us as belonging to Jesus Christ. His reward for the cross. Glory to God. He's his bride, if you please. The whole body of believers make up what is called, biblically, theologically, the bride of Christ. That's why when we have that great feast in heaven together, it's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. He seals us with the Holy Spirit. We belong to God. We are his purchased possession, bought by the precious blood of Jesus. We are now His children. We cry, Abba, Father, Aramaic for Dada. Amen. When the child first recognizes who his daddy is, he cries, Abba. He can't say Father yet. He's not that mature. He doesn't understand the reverential part of this as we do now. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But our first recognition that we are part and parcel of the family of God, we cry, Abba. The Spirit of adoption, the Holy Spirit, bears witness to that truth. And we cry, Abba, Father. And the Holy Spirit amens it, amens it. He bears witness to the truth of it. We are Jesus Christ's bride, His reward for that cruel cross. So the second blessing is being marked as God's own, sealed with the Holy Spirit, saved, sealed. And we're also delivered. We're also delivered. We are kept safe from the wrath to come. Now, there's a lot of different teachings, and some people are very passionate about the view that they take. But one thing is for sure, and I'm going to read it to you clearly. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 9 declares it. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. Underline that, underscore that. Because the tribulation, it tells us clearly, amen, that people, when God comes to pour out His wrath, when Christ comes as judge, not as Savior, but as judge, rightfully so. For He's the one that's been denied. He's the one that's been trodden underfoot. It's His blood that's been counted as something unholy and wholesalely rejected, taking vengeance in fiery judgment when He comes. Justifiably so. That's what wrath is. It's justifiable anger. The great men, the small men, the rich, the poor, the bond, the free, ran to the rocks and the mountains and cried, Fall on us, fall on us, and hide us from the face of Him that sits upon the throne and the wrath of the Lamb. Friend of mine, aren't you glad that we who have come to Christ as our Savior, we are not appointed to wrath. We have been appointed to obtain deliverance, salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that song, In Christ Alone, Solo Cristo. Hallelujah. I love that song. Verse 2 says, In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God and helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones He came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. It's called being reconciled unto God. For every sin on Him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. Amen. Here in the death of Christ I stand as a Christian today. And I am not afraid of the wrath to come, nor the judgment to come. There's a judgment seat of Christ, but it has nothing to do with where we spend eternity. It's where we'll be rewarded or we'll be ashamed because we didn't use the time and talents, the resources we had here for His honor, His glory, maybe as we should. But that is not determining where we spend eternity. That's not a heaven or hell issue. Amen. The heaven or hell issue is whether we are saved or whether we are lost, whether we're going to stand alone because we have not repented of our sin. We're going to stand in our own, on our own, in our own sinfulness before the throne of God in Revelation 20. Friend of mine, you do not want to do that. How shall we escape? what? The judgment to come, the wrath of God. How shall we escape that? The hell that is for Satan and his angels and the followers of the Antichrist. Listen, or even the spirit of Antichrist, which many are following right here and right now. You don't have to take the mark to follow the Antichrist spirit that is already at work. Dear friend of mine, today the good news is you can be saved. You can be marked for mercy. You don't have to be lost today. And I urge you in the name of Jesus Christ, whose I am and whom I serve, come to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Flee the wrath to come, because it's coming soon. It's coming soon. Christ is coming soon. You don't want to be left here to face the tribulation. You don't want to be left here when, if you decide, if you make it another day, and you make it long enough to experience the pouring out of His wrath, will there be people saved? Yes. Will they be killed in order to be saved during the tribulation? Yes, many, if not most. Because if you refuse the mark, you can't buy or sell. You will either starve to death, or else you will be outright murdered for your faith. And if you can't serve Him now, and you won't serve Him now, there's a very real danger you will capitulate. You'll take the mark and seal your fate. But you have an opportunity. The good news is the gospel is being preached to you. The gospel has been sent to you. I'm glad to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news. Right now, you can turn from darkness to light, from Satan to Christ, from sin to God. And you can be saved. And you can be sealed. And you can be kept safe, delivered from the wrath to come. Come to Jesus. Repent of your sin. Receive Him as your Savior in the name of Jesus Christ. Today, Christian, aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad you're sealed? Aren't you glad you're safe from the wrath to come? Rejoice in Him. Let the joy of your salvation be seen everywhere you go and to everyone you meet. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen.